Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, reading verses 1 through 15. After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Aramaic, which has five colonnades. Within these lay a large number of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, who were waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel would go down at certain times into the pool and stir up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had. One man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been sick a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the man answered, "I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am going, someone else goes down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly the man was healed. He picked up his mat and walked. That day was the Sabbath. So the Jews told the man who had been healed, "This is the Sabbath. You are not permitted to carry your mat." He answered them, "The one who made me well told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Pick it up and walk?'" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Look, you are well now. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went back and reported to the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. This is our text. Dear people of God, Jesus had been in Galilee, and now he comes to Jerusalem, seemingly alone. There's no mention of any disciples here in John chapter 5. Jesus goes to the temple area, where the Sheep Gate is, which is on the north side of the temple. These gates of Jerusalem and the gates of the temple are very odd and interesting. They all have names, but they don't always make a lot of sense. This gate, the Sheep Gate, may have been the gate through which they brought the sheep to sell in the temple. That makes good sense. But there's also an old gate, a fish gate, a horse gate, an east gate. And can you guess what statues flank the lion's gate? That's right, tigers. These gates may not represent what people think that they mean. Well, on the north side of the temple by the Sheep Gate was this pool called Bethesda, which was an absolute gift of God to his people. According to God's word, the Lord would send an angel into that pool to stir up the water, and whoever stepped in first at his arrival was healed. Isn't that nice of the Lord to give his people this gift? It says that whoever got in first was healed of whatever disease he had. So the person didn't become invincible for life. Rather, their disease, their sickness, their lameness, it was healed, and then later on in life, they died of something else. Well, at this pool, Jesus found this man, 38, who was sick, infirm, lying there helpless. And Jesus walks up to him and asks him a question that would have made a lot of us upset. "Do you want to get well? What do you think?" But Jesus was a stranger to him. Jesus wanted to hear what the man would say. Was the man ready to trade his faith in the angel for faith in the Son of Man who stood in front of him? But the man does not know Jesus. And that's very important for the rest of this story. False prophets in our world scold their sheep who don't get well, saying, "You need more faith to be healed." Well, that's not true at all. The Lord heals whom he wants to heal. It doesn't depend on you at all. It depends on him and on his holy will. For what did this man do to be healed? Absolutely nothing. The man rather tells Jesus a very heartbreaking story, that he doesn't have any friends who can push him into the water at the appropriate time. Do you remember the story of the crippled man whose four friends tried to bring him to Jesus? And when they couldn't get close, they even dug a hole in the roof of the house to lower the man in front of Jesus. That crippled man had four of the best friends in the history of the world who would not take no for an answer. This guy doesn't even have one friend who can push him into the water. Then Jesus just says out of nowhere, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." That's it. No statement of faith from the man. No pleading like the lepers who cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus just heals him. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world to have mercy on us sinners. He was constantly healing people and teaching them because he loves them, because his heart is full of mercy and pity and love for us sinners. God doesn't need a reason to be good to us. God is love. You don't earn his favor or his goodness or his love. He is simply bubbling over with love. You are simply the object of God's works of love. The Lord has his own reasons for doing what he does. And here, the Lord was super nice to this man and helped him and healed him for his own reasons. One, simply because God is love. Two, to show this man his Savior from sin. And also, to spur on the Jews, or these Pharisees, spur them on to a confrontation about the Sabbath and what the Lord actually says in his word about the Sabbath. See, John adds here on purpose, that day was the Sabbath. And the Pharisees take the bait. They can't help themselves either. Just like Jesus has to be good and wonderful, so the Pharisees had to be nasty and had to cut other people down. They could care less that this poor man with no friends had just been healed of his lifelong ailment by the Son of God who came to have mercy on us sinners. No, they're just there to mock people. They're there to make themselves feel big and important by cutting other people down. Hey! You can't be carrying that mat. Today's the Sabbath. Now, there were certainly Sabbath laws. No one in Israel was supposed to do any work, nor their servants. See, you couldn't have the servant do the work and then say, "Hey, I wasn't doing the work, he was doing the work." No. From 6 p.m. on Friday evening to 6 p.m. on Saturday, the Israelites were to rest as a gift of God to his dear people. The Sabbath was never meant to be this ticky-tack, count your steps, never do anything kind for anybody, day of judgment and silly accusations. Now there were Sabbath laws, but there was no Sabbath law that said that if the Son of God heals you from your lifelong ailment, that you shouldn't do what he says. Jesus is going to have a problem with these Pharisees, and we'll talk more about that next week. But in our story here, the Pharisees then ask this man, "Who is it who told you to do this?" And the man says that he didn't know who it was. See, the man still doesn't know his Savior. So Jesus found the man later on in the temple, which I find super interesting. What was this man doing in the temple? Our first thought is, well, he was healed, and so he went to the temple to thank the Lord for his healing. And that makes good sense, until you see what Jesus says to him. Jesus chides him when he finds him. He doesn't say anything like, you know, your newfound thankfulness to the Lord is very appropriate and good. No, no, no. Jesus rather says, stop sinning. The only thing I can figure out is that when the Pharisees scold the man for carrying his mat on the Sabbath day, the man stops carrying his mat on the Sabbath day. He doesn't want to just drop his mat and walk away and lose a perfectly good bet. So he stops in his tracks, sits down in the temple, and waits for 6 p.m. so that he can get up, carry his mat, and go home. Jesus then shows up and says, stop sinning. Look, you are well now. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you. Not to say that his original ailment was the result of any specific sin. Jesus told the disciples that the Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord doesn't work in karma. That's heathen witchcraft garbage. No, what this man has chosen to do is to listen to the Pharisees rather than to the Son of God. Jesus told him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. But the man has chosen to ignore that gift of God and command of God, and rather to listen to the mockers of God's word. Instead of getting up, picking up his mat, and walking, this man chose to take his mat, set it down, and sit down. He has chosen poorly. He ignores God's actual word and follows the advice of the mockers of God's word. Well, what happens if a person does that? Well, something way worse than just being crippled, Jesus says. Those who ignore the plain words of God are cast away from the Father and the Son into eternal death. Peter told these same Pharisees later on, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you might be saying to yourself, well, this poor guy, he's got Jesus on the one hand telling him to do one thing, and he's got these official looking holy men telling him to do something else. He's stuck. What can he possibly do? Yeah. Welcome to the world. That's life. In this life, we have the world and smart-sounding people telling us one thing, and we have God telling us something completely different. The thing is that the Lord's truths are buried deep in his word that a lot of people find difficult to read. While the things of this world are right in our face and constantly on our screens before our eyes. Do you get it now? Do you see? Life is difficult. This is why Jesus calls it the narrow way. following Jesus, walking on his path, is hard. That's why the first of Luther's theses was a reminder that we need to constantly repent, to live a life of repentance. Constantly be saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. For I don't even know all the sins that I do all day long. And I certainly don't know how to serve you any better, Lord. Have mercy on me. And hide me in Jesus. He is my Savior. He always chose the right thing to make up for all of the mistakes I have made. And all the times I chose the wrong thing. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, Jesus made this sinner well, simply out of his goodness and mercy. May the same Lord and Savior have mercy on us and bless us and make us well for eternity. All through his mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.